Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Well, hello from Washington, D.C. This podcast mostly coming to you from the Oval Office as we have been getting reaction, as we have been in with the U.S. President Donald Trump over the last couple of hours, his meeting with the Taoiseach Micheál Martin. So we're going to go over some of the clips, and then I've got reaction from some of the traveling pack coming to you. So some of the highlights through this particular session, and look, there's lots of them. There was so much in it. It was a big, long 50-minute press conference. Loads of issues came up that we're not even going to get a chance to get to. But some of the ones that maybe caught the eye: trade war, Ireland taking advantage of America is one thing that he really wanted to hit on, and he made it very clear very early. Here's some of what he had to say.
The EU was set up in order to take advantage of the United States.
Including Ireland? Is Ireland taking advantage of the US?
Of course they are. I can't, you know, I have great respect for Ireland and what they did. And they should have done just what they did. But the United States shouldn't have let it happen. We had stupid leaders. We had leaders that didn't have a clue. Or let's say they weren't business people, but they didn't have a clue what was happening. And all of a sudden, Ireland has, you know, our pharmaceutical companies and other. This beautiful island of, it's island of 5 million people. It's got the entire U.S. pharmaceutical industry in its grasp. And, you know, you mentioned housing and you mentioned other things. I mean, I have property in Ireland, as you know, and I love it. It does great. But I'd like to see the United States not have been so stupid for so many years, not just with Ireland, with everybody. You know, I looked at trade deals. I was telling the group yesterday, I looked at trade deals in term one. It's one of the reasons I decided I had to do this, because somebody had to straighten it out, and I didn't see anybody that was going to. I looked at trade deals that were so bad, I'd actually say, how is it possible that this could have happened? Who would have been so stupid to let these deals happen? For instance, when the pharmaceutical company started to go to Ireland, I would have said, that's okay if you want to go to Ireland. I think it's great. But if you want to sell anything into the United States, I'm going to put a 200% tariff on you, so you're never going to be able to sell anything into the United States. You know what they would have done? They would have stayed here.
And what's interesting is, this is the one area the Taoiseach actually had a clap back on at Trump, but I'm not quite sure it worked.
Will you be briefing?
Well, I'd love to have him back. I mean, I'd love to have him back, but he'll be fighting me.
But, if I could, one second, just make a point. It's a two-way street too, and we are investing a lot more in America now. And people may not realize, but Ryanair, one of our biggest airlines, for example,
Altrade,
they buy more. The two of them together buy more Boeing airplanes than anybody else outside of America.
That's
a little known fact. It doesn't turn up in the statistics, but Ryanair and AerCap, big aircraft leasing company, Irish company, have done great work with Boeing and huge investments over the last couple of years, you know. So, and there's a lot of Irish companies here now, about 700 and odd Irish companies based in America. Glanbia, Smurfit, Rock, I was saying to you this morning, I suppose. Mm-hmm. A lot of them creating thousands of jobs in America. And it's only fair. I mean, that's correct.
That's right.
And that's the way it should happen. And I think it's a very good relationship we have. It's a historic one. It's happened over time. We've added value to American companies. We've increased our value. They've got access to the European market, and they did all of that. I understand where you're coming from fully. But I think it's a relationship that we can develop and that will endure into the future and will change, it will adapt,
that is true.
And you're evolving and you're doing things.
Now, I just will say this,
but with all that we've said, we can talk about right now, there's a massive deficit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't mean by a little bit. I mean, there's a massive deficit that we have with Ireland and with other countries, too. And we want to sort of even that out as nicely as we can, and we'll work together. We're going to work together, Greg, but the deficit is massive.
And the Taoiseach got the treatment that Vladimir Zelensky got, in one sense at least, the same guy who asked Zelensky, why don't you wear a suit, and got up all on his face, actually had a few compliments from Micheál Martin.
For the Irish gentleman here, if I can see him real quickly. Welcome, United States, you look great.
Thank you.
Nice suit. President Trump ran on MAGA, Make America Great Again. If you could run on MEGA, Make Ireland Great Again, what would your number one issue be for people in Ireland right now to make your country stronger? And I've got a two-part question to that as well. Yeah.
The number one issue in Ireland is housing, to be honest, and I think it was correctly pointed out. We've got to build more houses. We've got to build them faster to give the young people of Ireland an opportunity to afford to buy a house or to afford to rent a house. We have a lot of other good things happening. That's my number one priority.
Wonderful.
Are you trying to confirm, Mr. President?
My question is, Ireland is known for very happy, fun-loving people, great attitude, many in this room right now that I've met. Why in the world would you let Rosie O'Donnell move to Ireland? I think she's going to lower your happiness level.
That's true. Thank you. I like that question.
Mr. President, are you expecting?
Do you know who she is?
Yes.
You're better off. You're better off not knowing.
So it was going pretty well. I mean, like, look, for large parts of this, Micheál Martin absolutely took a bashing. I don't think there's any two ways about that. And he stayed quiet, particularly on criticism of the EU that you might have heard there. He was relatively quiet on Gaza, sort of talked about peace being there. And a lot of people critical of him not going far enough. And the one that would have annoyed a lot of people, I know it has annoyed a lot of you out there. Donald Trump was asked, by yours truly, I must say, given it is Irish-American Appreciation Month, who is his favourite Irish person?
So many. Are you kidding me? Well, I do happen to like your fighter. He's got the best tattoos I've ever seen. I don't know if I'm a big McGregor, but that...
McElroy.
Conor McGregor, isn't it?
McElroy.
Conor.
Well,
McElroy.
You have Conor's great, right? Yeah. You know, talking about Conor. But you have a lot of great Irish fighters, actually. Fighters. I don't know what that is, but... Ireland's always had a lot of good fighters. You know why? Because they're tough people. They're smart people and they're passionate people. And they really have been over the years, so many. I think your father was a great fighter, right?
He was.
Wow. Yeah, look at you. You're so smooth. And so
a very good defensive boxer.
He was a really good.
He was a good boxer, Boxed for Ireland.
That means you're genetically, I'm not going to mess around.
Now, amid all of the filing and the absolute chaos, I caught up with two of the premier journalists in the travelling pack. And just to get a bit of a snapshot reaction, we were all a bit befuddled, even still at this stage, trying to remember everything that was said. And just to decide, the thing I can't decide, and you'll hear it in the chat here, is did Micheál Martin do a good job or not? Have a listen to Louise Byrne and Jane Matthews. So we are here literally sitting in sunny Washington, D.C., looking at the side of the White House before the Shamrock ceremony begins. And we've been through one hell of an Oval Office, 50 minutes of questions peppered to Donald Trump and Micheál Martin trying to butt in and not really getting to butt in and to run a rule on it and try and make some sense of it. And we really have had no time to make sense of it because we've been running around all day as we're recording this. This is Louise Byrne, a political correspondent with the Irish Mirror. Where do you even start?
I think I need to start by sitting down and watching it all again, because like you said, it's been so hectic. But I mean, there was a lot of trepidation, I think, about this trip. A lot of people were nervous about what was going to come up. We know that President Trump could be quite volatile, so I think, you know, there was that trepidation there. But it seems like it went fairly okay. There was no big showdown, there was no big moment of controversy. I think there has been criticism that perhaps Micheál Martin wasn't firm enough and wasn't robust enough, and there were several times when he was trying to come in, he was trying to make a comment, and either he was being shouted over by journalists or Donald Trump just kept talking over him, and there were several times perhaps he should have come in, he should have corrected things President Trump was saying. He was almost too polite, and I mean, perhaps too polite to a fault. And I mean, the first time President Trump mentioned the Apple tax and, you know, how the EU had sued Apple, Micheál Martin didn't come in and say, well, we didn't actually want that money. We supported Apple. We wanted to give their money back. He said it kind of under his breath the second time. So, I mean, all in all, not a bad day out for Micheál Martin, but I think there will be questions about how forceful he was or wasn't. And I think to come away without disaster, always a good day.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to decide. Is this, as we step back from it now, because it's mental when you're in there and you're trying to think of everything and trying to shout questions in, which is, fairness, you got a few good ones in, we'll talk about in a sec. But on one hand, like you say, he survived. And given the last guy in here was Vladimir Zelensky, that's no small thing, let's be fair about it. On the other hand, he was quiet on Gaza, didn't defend the EU at all. And then the one time he pushed back was on the tariffs and on the trade imbalance, and pretty much straight away Trump just rejected him or dismissed him.
Yeah, and this whole idea of Micheál Martin has kept saying, you know, it's a two-way street and our economic relationship with the US is a two-way street, continues to talk about Ryanair buying Boeing planes, which Donald Trump just completely and utterly brushed off. But, I mean, it was a momentous day in some reasons. You know, Micheál Martin was coming in here hours after new EU tariffs were announced on the US. So in some ways he was lucky to come out of that unscathed. But in other ways, perhaps he should have pushed back on the trade a bit more. On Gaza, you know, I think we're lucky we didn't have a showdown there, because it was potentially we could have. And again, I think the ceasefire deal, the potential ceasefire deal that was agreed on Tuesday night with Ukraine, I think he dodged a bullet there as well. But there was a lot of things just felt lucky for Micheál Martin today. The tariffs perhaps could have been more of an issue, and it's kind of amazing they weren't, to be honest, I thought.
Yeah, the one, like, he sort of survived without any direct line of fire. I mean, the one question was sort of about his suit and Rosie O'Donnell. And I don't know, does he know who Rosie O'Donnell is? But he never looked more.
He definitely doesn't know who Rosie O'Donnell is. And I mean, he was wearing a suit. And I was talking to the reporter actually afterwards, and he said that he told Micheál Martin it turned out very well. So that's always a good compliment.
And this was the same guy who asked Zelensky that question.
It was. So he was delighted that Micheál Martin had put on a suit and his green tie, and he looked very professional and, you know. But I mean, in fairness to Vladimir Zelensky, he's also fighting a war, so
You're allowed to wear your fatigues when you're doing that. We are now literally being rushed away by some of the White House pools, so we will catch up with maybe Louise and some other people later on in the show. And we're waiting around in the White House to go into the Shamrock ceremony, and Jane Matthews, political correspondent, has been with Micheál Martin through Texas and today. Like, I don't even kind of know where to begin with today. My head's still melted. Did it go well?
I'm so glad you said that, because my head is also still melted. I feel like I need to go home and just kind of think over it and take it all in. I think it did go well. I'd say that kind of with trepidation. I think it did go well for the Taoiseach. I think he'll be going home and he'll be breathing a sigh of relief. I think there'll be some maybe criticism from home in terms of how the conversation went around housing. He was kind of nodding and laughing when Trump made those comments about the housing crisis being a good problem to have, because it means your country's doing well. I don't think that will play well at home with people. And then the other thing was on Gaza. I think people felt like would possibly feel that he could have he was possibly too deferential to Trump during that part of the conversation. But I think overall, I think he'll be quite happy with how it went. I mean, even at the Vice President's breakfast this morning, I don't think that could have gone any better for Trump.
Yeah, no, definitely the Vice President's was just like a love fest, wasn't it? They were all over each other. The housing one, yeah, I wondered, like, it's 10 seconds out of the whole 50-minute press conference. I wonder how much that actually plays. But you can already see it back home. That's what people are exactly jumping on.
Exactly. And I think it was kind of unexpected that it would even be brought up in the White House as well. I mean, that, when we were standing there today, I don't know how you felt, Sean, but it felt like it was going on forever. Someone had kind of said to me beforehand, it might be 20 minutes, could be 15. We were in there for about 50 minutes today. So they touched on an awful lot of stuff. You know, I think we're going to have to take it all in now. But I do think overall he'll be happy with how he performed today. And I think I was surprised to see the level of respect that was there from Trump towards Ireland. He was very, very fond of the Irish people, even very respectful towards Micheál Martin. And I think you could even see he was being very cautious. He was thinking about what he was saying before he said it with some of the questions he was being asked. So I thought that was really interesting and unexpected.
Yeah, he was kind of like a smiling assassin. He was saying, "Are you Irish? Yeah. You got us good with all that trade stuff. But it's coming to an end.
He was saying it in a roundabout way. He was blaming it on previous US administrations, and he was kind of saying this thing of like, well, you are screwing us on when it comes to some trade issues, but I don't blame you for that. And he was kind of blaming the EU, but not exactly explicitly blaming Ireland. So I did think that was an interesting approach that he took.
Yeah, because it took the edge off of that argument, in that he was kind of like, oh, you know, you chancer, you know, like your friend who's cheated at cards or something. Yeah. I don't know, like that. But at the same time, he was very clear tariffs are coming and he wants the farmer back.
Totally, yes. But I think we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. We know what to expect from Donald Trump now. He says one thing and then rolls back on it. It's kind of hard to keep up with him. And, you know, if he's going to go forward with tariffs, it'll be on the EU as a whole. So I think there'll be a lot of the EU leaders will be watching what happened there today. Very nervous.
I'd be really annoyed if I was an EU leader, because there was not once in all the things Donald Trump said, it was the EU set up to rip off America, to screw America. He didn't once defend the EU.
No, there was no pushback from Micheál Martin on that. But I think he would argue that that's not what today was about. He was going in there, this is a celebration of Irishness, a celebration of the Irish Americans that are over here. And I think he wanted to keep it light. He wanted to keep it positive, upbeat. I don't think he felt like that was his job today, to defend the EU.
We're also, and we don't know this for certain, but the Burkes, we think, have not gotten into the White House.
I don't know. I think at this stage we don't know. We did, just before we came over here, we tried to briefly speak to them. They're protesting kind of far away from the White House, but they're kind of outside the gates where the barriers are. They didn't want to speak to Irish media at all. We posed a couple of questions. They just weren't engaging. So I don't know. They could be in here yet. Let's wait and see.
Yeah, they won't get the posters in anyway. They're outside the White House with these big posters about Enoch Burke and about the Irish government and religious freedom and all that sort of stuff. Jane, thanks a million. We're going to try and go into the Shamrock Ceremony now and see if there's any. This is the place that's ripe for a slip up.
Totally, yes. And it's ripe for a celebrity as well. I'm waiting to see what celebrity's in there. I mean, I've been trying to suss out if Conor McGregor is in there. He was brought up in the White House today. People are being kind of coy in their answers, so I wouldn't be too surprised if Conor McGregor is in there.
It's the favourite Irish person that he couldn't quite remember the name of the first time around. So yeah,
the tattoo, wasn't it?
Yeah. Great tattoo. So yeah, we'll see if he shows up as we head out. Jane Matthews, thanks for being here. So there you go, and in that Shamrock Ceremony then, I mean, not a lot, it was all light, it was all thanking each other and delight, and Donald Trump went through a whole bunch of Irish Americans that he'd probably never heard of before, he didn't know were actually Irish American, which was sort of interesting, and Micheál Martin complimentary of Donald Trump and his bid for peace across the world, his bid for a Nobel Peace Prize, I suppose. I think Micheál Martin's performance, it somehow left me wanting a bit more, that I wanted him to be stronger. But if I was advising him, I probably would have told him to do pretty much exactly what he did. I would have pushed back a bit more on maybe the EU stuff. But his goal, his number one goal, was to protect the Irish economy. And coming out of this, he's certainly done it no harm. But that said, you know, Trump made no secret of it. Tariffs are coming. He wants pharma back. He's going to do everything he can, and that will be damaging for the Irish economy. There's no doubt about it. We may have further updates on the feed later on in the weekend. Of course, I will be on News Talk over the next couple of days, on with Ivan Yates on the Pat Kenny Show on Thursday morning as well, with live reaction. So keep an eye on News Talk social channels, on my own Instagram as well, Sean Defoe News, just to see what's going on here stateside and get a bit of a behind the scenes look at inside the White House. Thanks for listening.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.